The Old Testament reading for the last Sunday of the Church of the Year is from Ezekiel chapter 34. For thus says the Lord God, Behold, I myself will search for my sheep, and will seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered. So will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered, on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on a mountain heights of Israel shall there be grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pastures they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. And the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, Behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you push with the side and the shoulder, and thrust out all the weak with your horns, till you have scattered them abroad, I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be the prey. And I will judge between the sheep and the sheep. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David shall be the prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead by the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the firstfruits. Then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to the God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says, all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is expected. Who put all things in subjection under him? When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him. Who put all things in subjection under him? That God may be all in all. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, and he will sit on his glorious throne, before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, Truly I say to you, as you did it to the one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. So what's life all about? Well, life is about being alert when God calls. You know, sometimes we know when it's our moment to really shine. Like, for example, using the sports analogy, it's the bottom of the ninth. Two outs, bases loaded, you're up to bat. You're down by one run. Or the quarterback driving his team down the field with seconds to go, down one touchdown. Or for those of you who like basketball, which, by the way, I've never seen the purpose. I know in Indiana I shouldn't badmouth basketball. You keep sticking it in the basket and it doesn't stay. And then the other thing is you give up 50 baskets and you consider that good defense. Anyway. Now, you know you have the potential to make a huge difference. But seriously, how many times has that happened in your life? How many times have you been at bat with bases loaded? All right? So there's got to be more to it than just that. Life isn't always as obvious when God calls us to make a difference in our own lives and in the lives of others. And we can't manufacture these opportunities to serve Him. We got to be open to them when they arise, and we need to be ready to pounce on them when the opportunity does come. Just like a cat, you know, a little mouse coming out of its hole, and the cat is sitting right there. You know how fast that cat moves? Well, that's how fast we should move when an opportunity comes. And it's not always easy to know when these opportunities to serve come. It can be the simplest things, or it could be very difficult. Got to look for what I want to call a God moment. A God moment is when God places an opportunity to us to serve in some capacity, and I call those God moments, when He interjects Himself into life and says, here is an opportunity. Now, we may not change the world. I realized that many years ago. I am not going to be able to change the world. But I might be able to change somebody's life without really knowing I did it. I want to add some verses from James to the lesson for today. James writes in chapter 2, verse 14, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and any one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." I like James. James is a very practical book. James just steps right on your toes and tells you the way it is. Now, of course, I like St. Paul as well, but St. Paul sometimes has a tendency to go on and on and on. We joke about it in Sunday morning Bible study. You can't sometimes just read one sentence because it's 12 verses long. I guess by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that's the way it was supposed to be. But I like James. It's a little more blunt and right to the point. But does our gospel lesson and what I read from James contradict the idea that we're saved by grace? Because on the surface, if you look at it, our gospel lesson, if you took care of him when he was sick, thirsty, naked, or in prison, that's what gets you eternal life. Or if you read from James, all right, faith apart from works is dead. Now, what James wants us to understand is that we have this great faith, but if we have nothing to show for it, we have nothing to show for it for what we do in the kingdom. All right? So in other words, you have this great faith, but you have no works to go with it. James is really asking the question, do you really believe in Jesus? Now, the gospel lesson in James puts faith together with works. I've heard, and I don't remember where it was, pastors do not like to preach on Matthew 25. Because it's very difficult to preach salvation by faith alone, by grace alone, when it appears on the surface, just on the surface, salvation's based on what we do. But Paul writes, we are God's workmanship, created to do good works. God creates situations for us to serve Him. Faith compels good works. So look for opportunities to do good to somebody else. And again, sometimes the opportunities are obvious, sometimes they're not. But true faith shows itself, manifests itself in action. It's a natural outgrowth of faith. Because we have faith, we respond by what we do. Now, and why is that important? Jesus said of the demons themselves, they believe in God, but they do not have works, therefore their faith is dead. Satan knows all about God. He was there. He saw it all. But it avails him absolutely nothing without works. Matthew 25 seems a bit harsh, maybe, but it's right at the end of Jesus' earthly life, and he has some very strong instructions to give his followers. Life is not about just sitting back and let others have their turn. Life is not about just sitting back, oh, I got it made. I don't need to do a thing. Now, sometimes that's not a bad thing to do because everybody needs rest, right? But if you live the majority of your life just going, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to take care of or worry about anybody else. See, we're able to work in God's kingdom. Now, in this section of Scripture, it talks about Christ coming in His glory. Usually when we picture Christ, we picture Him in His earthly ministry. We don't picture Him on the clouds with all the angels coming. Now, Revelation says that He will come with a myriad of angels. All right? A myriad is Greek for 10,000. It talks about 10 myriads, which would be, all right, 10,000 times 10,000 is what, folks? 100 million. 100 million angels He's going to come with on the final last day. Now, if we were unbelievers, that would be a terrifying sight. Even in the Bible, when one angel appeared, they usually say, what's the first two words out of their mouth? Fear not. All right, because most people, it doesn't say, but I'm betting we're just about hit the dirt when they saw an angel. Now, 100 million of them coming at once. Too awesome to imagine. And remember, they're not the little babies with the cute little wings. You know, when I come to visit you in your house and I see a little statue of a baby angel, I'm growling on the inside, okay? But anyway, that's my rant for another day. When Jesus comes, He comes and He's going to gather famous. He's going to gather the superstars, the poor, the rich, the middle, the unknown people, the sickly, and everyone. And then they're going to be separated. Why? What's the basis for the separation? Yes, if they believe in Christ. But it's also, have we done something to respond from our faith? That's what He's talking about. I was hungry, thirsty, a stranger, naked, sick, and in prison, and you did something about it. Your faith forced you or caused you to respond. It's your faith in action. The key verse is verse 40. Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. We did it to Christ. I love a quote from Mother Teresa when they asked her how she could take care of the sick people in the poorest city in the world, Calcutta. And these people had horrible diseases. And she says, every time I look in their face, I see the face of Christ. And I'm doing it for him. No, she said, I'm doing it to him. She understood what Matthew 25 was all about. To me, that's pretty powerful. It changes the way that we look at other people. If I look at other people as though I'm looking at the face of Christ, I'm going to have a whole different attitude towards them. Now, sinful human nature, we don't always treat other people as Christ. That's our sinful human nature for what we repent of. So whatever you do for somebody else, you're doing it for Christ. Now, churches, we care for our members, and we care for non-members, we care for the community. For example, taking meals to people, gathering food supplies, food bank, the Christmas angels, which is coming up, and I always love that, the Christmas angels, because you're bringing Christmas to a child who otherwise wouldn't have one. All right, and that's a special opportunity. Or sometimes a church just helps people who need help with a utility bill. But before we pat ourselves on the back and say, oh, how great we are, remember all those things that we do here. This congregation does here. We are doing it in response to what Christ has done for us. The world is crazy, if you haven't noticed. All right? 2020 is not crazier than other years. All right, it was just other stupidity in other years. All right. So, yes, we got the virus. I got all that. But the world has been crazy for centuries. All right. But the church is called to love one's neighbor. And love is defined as doing what is best for the other person. We are called to love all people, regardless of their politics. We just don't like them. Are there people you just don't like in general? Oh, yes. You know, but we're still called to love them, to do what is best for them. Or if we don't agree with their lifestyle, we are still called to love them. Nobody liked the leper. Nobody liked the sick. Nobody liked the lame. No one really liked the demon-possessed. But Christ took the time to care for them. Then the mood shifts in verse 41. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Verses 42 and 43, Jesus said, I was hungry, thirsty, a stranger, naked, sick, and in prison, and you did nothing for me. In other words, you just didn't care. And then they will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or in need? And Jesus will respond with the opposite of verse 40. He will say, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to the one the least of these, you did not do it to me. Notice these people are arguing with Jesus. Can you imagine standing before the Lord and arguing with him, saying, no, wrong decision. But Jesus responds, get away, you didn't do it for the least of these. And I'm kind of paraphrasing. If you did not do it for the person in need, so you didn't do it for me, you have no place in my kingdom, depart from me. And man, he is calling them out. He is putting the spotlight on them, on those on his left, and saying, you didn't live the life you were supposed to live in response to the faith you claim to have had. Wow. Now, do we always live the life that we're supposed to live? Do we always care for our neighbor as we should? No, but we repent of that. Even when we, let's say, don't care for the people we don't like, we still need to repent of that. We got to get over our pride and maybe our arrogance. Jesus humbled himself to be a servant to all. He calls us to be humble, to help another person in need, to be of service to them. By the way, it's not a matter of saying, you know, we really should do this or that if you're not willing to do this or that. I always love it. At church, you know what we should do? We should do this. Well, are you going to lead the volunteers? No. Well, wait a minute. All right? Sometimes in the church, it's just a matter of picking up a phone and calling a fellow brother or sister in Christ and wanting to know how they are. We haven't seen you in a while. And no, we cannot help everyone. I cannot help every person in need that there is. All right? But I can do something for some of them. I mean, we got to take care of ourselves. We got to take care of our families. We can only help some. But in response to what Christ has done for us, we should be helping some. Because I believe we see too many people in need and simply walk by, and we don't give them a second thought. And in Christ's mind, they're his first thought. So may the peace of the Lord, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.